Hello, BBC. This is Stuart McPherson reporting from Normandy. I have in front of me a letter written by a young Royal Canadian Air Force Spitfire pilot to his girl back in Canada. It certainly could not be written by any earthbound man. I think you'll like it. Here it is. My darling, it is now 10:30 in the morning, and I have put in a few hours flying already. Perhaps you would like to hear what dawn over Normandy looks like from 15 to 20,000 feet. I know my description will not be good, but perhaps it'll give you some sort of a picture. We took off in the darkness some few minutes before the first light, and that's rather a tricky business, too. I poured the coal to dear old Marge. As usual, she raced down the runway like a wild Mustang. Quickly, the air got hold of her, and she rose gracefully. In the darkness, I had no trouble raising her wheels, closing her hood, trimming her to fly straight. Ease back on the throttle so as not to hurt her engine. Now for a look around. Inky, cold blackness. The exhausts pour out a blue-red glow. Over on my right, three similar glows. The rest of the gang are airborne. Okay. On the ground, the same inky blackness. Except towards the battle area, where flashes of the guns glow against the morning haze. They die away, but only for a second or so, then more flashes. I call up the ground section. Red section airborne. Back comes the answer. Okay, red one. Angels 20. All set. Up we go. Away to the east, the sky is getting light. As we climb, the light gradually covers the whole eastern sky. A few wispy clouds are passed at about 15,000 feet. From the ground, they look dark and menacing, while from on top, they are silvery white and reflect a few rays of light. The temperature quickly drops to zero, and I give a slight shudder and a shiver. But I'm too excited to feel the cold. The ground is still very black, but I can just see the channel and the land meet. Must be the breakers on the coast. Rays of early light sneak into the cockpit, and I can read my instruments easily. All is well, and I turn and revel in the beauty that I can see outside. A tint of rose and red has appeared in the east. The clouds look like colored powder puffs. The ground so far has had no light. And from up here, I see something far more beautiful and inspiring than the other souls on that cold, bleak-looking ground below. Once again, the realities of the moment. A quick check of my instruments. The correct height to the foot. Now we have to report to the ground. Hello, ground. Red section, Angels 20. Okay, red one. Patrol east and west. Okay, ground. Red, one out. Now my eyes turn to the east. The sun is poking its great red eye over the horizon. The rays creep into the cockpit, and honestly, they warm your very heart. I'm one up on the ground, for I have seen the sun first today, and it'll be 15 minutes before that dreary land will be able to see it. Reluctantly, its warming rays creep across water and land alike. What's that land across the water on my left? Why, of course, it's England. There's the end of our patrol line below. We must turn west. Well, duty first, so around we go. Now we have our backs to this grandeur. Blackness confronts me, that is, except for those few friendly clouds a few thousand feet below. They reflect the light like diamonds laid out on black velvet. The thought strikes me. Wouldn't it be swell to race this day, westward, home to my loved ones? Not much hope of that, though. The sunlight is passing me on the ground. Of course, I'm only doing 350 miles an hour, and it's doing about 700. Oh, well, a guy can dream, can't he? What's that dot away over there on the left? It's an aircraft. We'll go and investigate. So I call out, red section, aircraft 10 o'clock, slightly above. Let's have a look-see. Marge's throttle slides open easily, and she gives a deep, full-throated roar. The wind whistles past my coop-top cover in an ever-increasing howl. Up we go, easily, fast. Ah, it's a bomber. Looks like one of ours. Yes, it is. I wonder what he's doing here at this odd time of the day. Must be coming back from a raid. Well, let's go and wave at him, for he must feel awful lonely. And then I can see the pilot waving. Yes, and the navigator, the bomb aimer, and the gunner boys. I wave back and dip a wing. He dips his wing just like a tired old bird, then steadies off on his homeward course for England, the lucky dog. We go east again. A vast change has taken place. The sun now reigns supreme. The silvery coastline of France can be seen for miles. I recognize points that at one time were heaven to me when coming home from a fighter sweep over France. Now that I'm in France, well, I don't have to worry about dropping into the water. The green fields, the dark green hedgerows, and the forests of France look so beautiful in this early dawn light. It's very hard, my darling, to think that great battles are being fought down there. Suddenly, my thoughts are interrupted by the ground. Hello, Red One, you may return to base. Okay, Round, Red One out. Slowly, I roll Marge over on her back and pull the stick until we are going down vertically. Now, speed is the order of the day. And as you know, I always get a great kick out of that. 300, 350, 375, 400. The airspeed indicator races on. Better pull out, for that ground wants to slap me hard. Marge responds immediately, and out we come at treetop level. Everything near me on the ground is a blur. Objects in the distance race toward me until they are part of the blur. Better slow down. Too many planes here to risk going in too fast. One circle around the airfield to give the other aircraft a chance to land first. They seem to buzz around me like flies over a honeypot. Then I call the ground. Hello, ground. Permission to pancake. Okay, Red One, ground out. Marge's wheels go down with, well, almost a gentle click. The lights are green. Everything is okay. The runway rushes up to meet me, and Marge's wheels more or less kiss it gently and roll along. We slow down to walking pace and then taxi over to our dispersal point. I flick the switches, and Marge becomes silent after a gentle cough, just as if she had enjoyed the trip in her own little way. Well, darling, that's what a dawn patrol looks like to me. Good night, and love to all at home. And that's the letter of a young Royal Canadian Air Force Spitfire pilot, 21 years of age to be exact, writing home to his loved ones in Canada. And this is Stuart McPherson, returning you from Normandy to London.